Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
WGR Sports Radio 550 presents Sports Talk Saturday.
Every, what did they say? What's the saying? A blind squirrel finds a blind horse?
What?
It's something. There's a blind animal and he finds a piece of...
On WGR.
Make sure that the blind squirrel finds a nut every now and then.
I don't know what you're referring to, and I don't care.
Sports Radio 550.
I believe the correct term is a blind squirrel finds a nut every once in a while.
Nate has no idea what you're talking about, and he doesn't intend to.
That's his prerogative. Sure.
Let's just say he doesn't look bad.
I guess so. Welcome back in. Sports Talk Saturday. 2 hours left to go here on the program. 803-0551, 888-552-550. Topic today, grade the teams. Grade the Sabres. Grade the Bills. The Bills have gone through 3 months of the year still. 4 games left to go in December. The Sabres, well, they've only gone through 2 months of the year. They still have 1 game left before the end of the month. That's tonight in Toronto. Feel free to give us a grade on that. And feel free to call us up, 803-0550, 1-888-552-550. Give us your thoughts on Twitter, at BJ Wilson, WGR, at WGR550, at Derek Kramer 49. Or you can even text us, 550-550. That's the easiest way you can get a hold of us this afternoon. David writes in with his response to the Bills. The offense gets a B+. I like these complete grades for like a report card. That's fine by me. Offense B+, defense A+. Special teams C-. Aggressiveness, like fourth down is an example, a B. Timeout management, D. Prep for opponent, A. Overall, B. That's fair. That's fair, David. I'll give you that. Nice job on the breakdown. Another response here. Jenny says they started, the Bills. So, well, they started at D, then progressed to an A. This is a team with good owners, coaches, and players. It's refreshing to see them being successful at all levels. I'm changing my early win-loss prediction, 11-5 to 12-4. The Ravens are the only team I fear. Man, going from a D to an A, that's impressive. Some thoughts on the Sabres Twitter poll. We'll get you those results right now. I do want to talk a little bit about the Sabres in a bit, but we got some phone calls that I want to get to as well. So far through the first 2 months of the season, how would you grade the team? 65% of people say that the team is a C right now. D or worse is at 23%. 11% say B, and 1% say A. The Sabres are an interesting response just because I don't know what people's expectations were of this team. A lot of people have different expectations, so that's part of the voting. Garrett says that they still got more wins than losses, but they should be far better than they're playing. Dan writes in, if this poll were put out before last night's game, I think more people would have put D as a grade instead of a C. Let's see. Adam says both polls are spot on with their results right now. It's fair enough to say. Sabres get a C at best from Tom. So some good results, some good responses. We'll get more of your responses here in just a second. Someone texts in. Bills get an A, Sabres get a B-. Jack Eichel, though, gets an A+. Jack Eichel has been very good this season, and I believe he had another three-point night last night, which gives him something like 6 3-point nights on the year. The only players that have been better than him in that category are Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl for Edmonton.
Not to mention he already has 16 goals. It's November.
Yeah. He's on pace himself to get 40 goals this year. The 47, I think, is the pace that he's at right now. Maybe a little higher. 803-0551, 888-552-550. Got plenty of callers in here. Let's get to the phone lines here. Let's go to Raj in Windsor. Raj, good afternoon. You're on Sports Talk Saturday on WGR.
Hey, thank you for taking my phone call.
Sure.
What a great win the other night. So what I wanted to talk about is an interesting fact that when you look at it, Bills are playing really well in the first two downs, early downs. I mean, they're getting like 8-9 yards. But when it comes to second and one or third and one, the opposing defense seems to figure out exactly what we are doing. In fact, you know, we tend to lose some yards. Even on the Thanksgiving night, I mean, if you look at it, the fourth and one call where Josh Allen made a great effort getting those fourth and one, that was a turning point of the game. But before that, it was second and one, and then we lost like 3 yards and then coming back. So just want to take your thoughts on that. I mean, to see, it's a good problem to have. I mean, we are getting good yards in the first two downs.
Mm-hmm.
When it comes to short, second and one or second and two, even in the red zone, third and 10, we have no problem. I mean, we're getting touchdowns.
Yeah.
When it comes to third and two, somehow, I mean, we end up kicking field goals. So,
yeah.
Just thought, hear your thoughts on that.
Yeah, yeah, sure thing, Raj. Thanks for the call. I think that they've been fairly good at short yardage plays this year. Yeah, there have been some head-scratching decisions on what they've done in short yardage plays. I mean, I don't know. Derek, I want your thoughts on this, too, because I obviously haven't gotten the chance to talk to a lot of people about my thoughts with this. So I want your thoughts, and people can react to this, too. It almost seems like to me that sometimes, and this is maybe part of the play-calling issue that I have a role with Brian Daboll, is it seems like to me they try and run one play. It works very well for them. And then they line up and try to run that exact same play. And it seems like defenses just immediately read it. Or they line up a certain way and then they'll line up the exact same way. And the deviation between the plays might not be so different. But that might be what I'm thinking of with when it comes to this. But I don't know if that's what you're seeing.
No, what I'm understanding with what Raj's call is about is the running game on these and two or and one situations where they have kind of been poor at it. I mean, unless it's Josh Allen fighting his way through on a quarterback sneak, you're not really getting a lot of success in the running game in particular.
And I agree with that.
The short distances. Hell, Josh Allen, there was a quarterback sneak, and then they had to go for it again, and then it became a rugby play that saved them from a turnover on downs. Josh Allen must have played rugby in the past because that's exactly what that was.
How he found that ball was absolutely amazing
to
me.
That was literally a rugby scrum.
No, I agree with some of those points there, too. You also have to have a little more faith in everyone else that can be able to do that except for Josh Allen. Because, yeah, there have been a couple times this year where on a third and two, it's like, okay, sure, just let Josh Allen go get the first down. Because there's been a couple of times where it's like, I don't know who's going to go get this first down. Frank Gore is a straight-up-the-middle type of guy, ground and pound, but he is a guy that is going to get you a couple yards, but if it's like a third and four, can he get the 4 yards? I'm not always so confident.
I'm actually more confident in him getting the 4 yards than I am the 1 yard, because here's the thing. This is what I've noticed with this team and its play calling structure throughout. Frank Gore will get those yards when people know he's going to run it. I look back at the Tennessee game, for example, or like everybody in the building knew that 4-minute drive, they were going to be running the football. And what happens? Frank Gore just runs all over.
Yeah. Yeah, he did.
And then the Dallas game, they're pinned back and Frank Gore gets a very nice run on first down when everybody in the building knows they're going to run the football.
Yeah.
But then later in that same quarter, they're pinned back near their own end zone. Everybody knows that they're running the football. Gore gets a loss, and then that's where that Josh Allen to Cole Beasley throw comes in from the end zone. That was probably his best throw all game. It seems that they're very predictable when Frank Gore is on the field for those situations, and I feel like they need to just not always swear by it. Have him out there. Have the threat there. Play action, baby. That is something Cole Beasley has been able to victimize. That he's made his career on third and short. John Brown has been catching tons of first plays that go for first downs for you this season. And has just been a complete wide receiver for you. You need to mix that up.
Yeah.
When everybody in the building knows what you're doing on third and one or third and goal,
and
when you're at the 1 yard line.
And I feel like there's too many of those plays where the team easily reads what the Bills are going to be able to do, and then it just shows on the field.
And that's where that call's frustration comes from, is
exactly
the and one moments from these games have been, for the most part, a little underwhelming at best.
Thanks for the call, Raj. Hope that was a good answer for you. Let's go to Jerry and Kenmore. Jerry, good afternoon. What's going on?
You know what? It's easy to give them a good grade because you're coming off a test where you just got an A+.
Mm-hmm.
The Sabres grade, I'm going to give them they're only auditing this class. They haven't proved to me they deserve a grade at all over the past 7 years. This is a higher-level class. They are auditing right now. No grade at all. They haven't earned a grade. the way they've been. The Bills, B minus C plus, and I'll tell you why. I think the short yardage offense is a flat out F. Gore in third or fourth and ones is like 0 for 9 this year. The best play athletes play defense. Why would you want to line up and try to win 7 one-on-one battles to gain a yard? The league does it. The only team that doesn't do it that way is New England. And they make more of them than anybody else. They spread the field, and then Brady sneaks. We have the quarterback to do that. Why we refuse to do it is amazing to me. That's an F. Special teams is close to an F. We've had a kick return for a touchdown. We've had a blocked punt. We've missed field goals left and right. We've had a 15-yard punt in the Eagle game. We've had a recovered onside surprise kick. I know we lead the league in kickoff returns, but that's a very small portion because very few kicks get returned. It's very easy to be first or last in that based on how many kicks are really returned in the league.
Mm-hmm.
And Andre Roberts, if it wasn't for him, the special teams would be a flat-out F, too.
Yeah.
So I don't know how you can get an A or a B when two portions of your thing are just a flat-out F. And that's the short yard stuff. Until they figure that out, why would you want to try to gain a yard where you have 14 bodies that weigh 275 pounds or more?
Yeah.
It's just not logical, the
right
way you think.
Yeah, I get you, Jerry. Thanks for the call. It's a little more of a criticism from Jerry there.
I like the audit part.
Yes, though. Yes. The Sabres over the 7 years have not earned a grade. That's funny.
You're
that's
auditing
great.
The class. We need to see what happens. But I don't know. I think that it's a little too harsh. Let's be real about something. They're 9-3.
Yeah.
They are 9-3 for a reason, and it is because of the fact that the offense has been able to pick up as of late, especially the last three games, after watching the most infuriating loss that you could have seen from this team for the past couple of years. And then the next thing you know, the next three games, you play complete football.
Some of your best football you've played in a really long time, too.
Three straight double-digit wins.
Yeah.
They are rolling pretty much in every instance that they need to be. And yes, Hauschka has had an off one. I mean, the Cleveland game, and then obviously this past one. The indoors, like you got to hit those, buddy.
Absolutely.
But at the same time, your team is playing so well that you can overshadow those problems. Mm-hmm. And
they kind of have.
And one of the biggest ways you can stop kicking problems from showing up on a constant basis, score touchdowns. And the Bills are doing it. So I'm not necessarily worried too much yet. I do want to make sure that Hauschka the guy just needs to hit one of these 50-yarders at this point because that's just a funk. And he hasn't been the same guy since he took that cheap shot against the Jets last year, I think. Do you have a problem? Yes. What free agent kicker is going to help you here, though?
There's no one right now.
Nobody's going to be at least better than what you have at this point.
Maybe if Chase McLaughlin became a free agent again?
Yeah, maybe. Maybe.
But I think he's still signed with San Francisco.
Yeah, and I don't think San Fran is even going to want to let him go at this point.
Yeah, I mean, Robbie Gould is hurt and McLaughlin has been pretty good for them. So
yeah, so it
why
just,
not? Just
nobody
keep
in free agency is good. Like this year, Hauschka's the kicker. He's the kicker this year. It's going to happen like that. Unless he goes 0 for 4 next week. I'm just going to knock on wood now. Unless he just has a terrible game against Baltimore where he hits none of his kicks, he's not losing his job this year because nobody out there in free agency is going to be better.
Texter brings up a point going back to the short yardage plays. Take more shots down the field when you have a second one or two. They seem to always just rush up the middle just to get the first down. And I'm fine with the Bills taking more shots down the field. I think I would like to see Josh Allen try to air it out just a little bit more and make some more plays with his arm. I think over the past few games especially, he's been able to prove that. Mind you, again, it is the Dolphins. It is, 2 weeks ago, or who the heck did they play just before? Denver. Some of these games just completely just mesh into all into one, and just, I don't know why I can't think of it, but it just, you know, I want to see Josh Allen make more of those plays. Take a risk every once in a while. I agree with the Texter's point right there.
By the way, Michigan striking first against Ohio State this afternoon. 6-0 for the Wolverines after a missed extra point.
I believe they call that one just the game.
Yes, the game.
Between the two, which is so lame. Come up with something better. Do better, Michigan. Do better, Ohio State. You got the Paul Bunyan axe you're playing for. You've got the Iron Bowl. You had the Egg Bowl the other day, which, I mean, the Ole Miss player to do the urinating dog celebration. What are you thinking? Then you force your kicker to make a 15-yard more field goal for the extra point, and he misses. Shame on you.
Yeah, no. But
dummy of the week right there.
The game.
The game just sounds so lame.
The game.
Let's head back out to the phone lines. Let's go to Charles in Jacksonville. Charles, thanks for calling in. You're on Sports Talk Saturday.
I'm here to acclaim that I have been the worst Josh Allen detractor. He has made me so mad sometimes, I have no more hair. But on Thanksgiving Day, I saw something that was surprising. It had to have been his doppelganger.
No, I don't think it was a doppelganger. I think that was him.
It was a field general.
Yeah.
You know, you're able, you know, I've watched him look at the defense, step back, call an audible, speak directly to each one of his offensive players, get back to the line of scrimmage, call a play for positive yards. That was a thing of beauty.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that, and thanks for the call, Charles. And, you know, again, when the Bills drafted Josh Allen, he was not the quarterback that I exactly wanted. I think there was absolutely the potential for him to be a decent player and be a decent quarterback. But it just seemed like to me that there were more negatives than positives when watching Josh Allen. And in the footwork that he had issues with, the inaccuracy, obviously, the decision-making. But you saw just the raw ability, the raw talent that he had, the arm strength. And I think Josh Allen, as of now, is putting it all together. And I think that game on Thursday was that first look of, okay, I think Josh Allen's finally getting it. He's finally putting it all together in the NFL. He's got the leadership down. He's got the ability to run that offense, to make play calls and make audibles, do what he wants to do at the offensive line. He sees the field much better than he did while in college or even as a rookie. Maybe even earlier this year, he sees the field better. He's smarter with the football. He's doing everything that you want a franchise quarterback to become in the NFL. And yeah, he's taken some shots in his career. I mean, he just had a concussion earlier this year, and last year he hurt his elbow. Mind you, the elbow injury was more of a freak thing than him putting his body at risk that way. But he's not afraid to take risks. Nothing seems to faze him. Even a bad throw every once in a while. The Denver game, he makes a terrible throw where the ball sails off his arm and is picked off super easily in Buffalo territory. He comes right back, though, and it's just like nothing ever happened. He just does exactly what he needs to do. And I liked your term, Charles, field general. That's exactly what I think that he's starting to become in this league and for the Bills as a field general. You go out there, you dictate what's going on, and you react upon what's happening and what's being given to you. And I think he's doing that much better every single game. We're starting to see that. And again, I'll say it again. More and more, we're coming out of these games saying, man, what a play that was, or what a read that was, or Josh Allen just made that play happen out of nowhere. And instead of the, oh man, what are you doing making that throw, or why would you do that? You got to get rid of the ball sooner. Thank you for the call, Charles, though. Appreciate the call. 803-0551, 888-552-550. Got time for one more call here before the break. Let's go to Mike here on WGR. Mike, good afternoon.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Sure thing.
It's my first time ever calling, so you guys do a fantastic job.
Thank you.
I appreciate listening every time. So, Thanksgiving, the Bills were playing a little rough in the beginning, and then started yelling at the TV. My wife walks away. And all of a sudden, she comes back into the room. I'm like, okay, well, they're going to start playing better. She comes back in the room with a pregnancy test, and it comes back positive.
Wow.
And then ever since that test came back positive, the Bills stepped it up, and they got the W. So,
well, congratulations to you and your wife there.
And yeah, thank you. It was unbelievable. I can't believe I'm going to be a father. I found out on Thanksgiving with a Bills win. So
that's awesome.
I'm not telling anyone yet, but I figured I had to call into you guys. It was absolutely amazing.
Well, Mike, if it is Mike for your sake, I hope that you're able to I hope everything goes well for you and your wife, and congratulations to you and your wife, and best of wishes to you moving forward. Yeah, that's awesome. I don't think I've ever heard a call like that, Derek. I don't think anyone has ever called in like that. And Mike, I give you props.
When I was screening, he did mention that he was like, I haven't told family yet.
Yeah,
like, this is how you're going to reveal
it. He did say it, but but I mean, at that point, I'd almost use a fake name when I'm calling in.
Mike's a general name.
It's a
common name.
But I mean, if it were me calling into a radio show to tell that story, and Mike, if your real name is Mike, I apologize. I would have called in as a fake name. That's
you know
just
what?
Me, though.
You know what? No, let's help him with some misdirection. Okay, quote unquote Mike.
Yes, quote unquote Mike.
See, Mike was the fake name all along.
Great for you, though, Mike. Great for you and your family.
Or
congratulations.
Not Mike.
Or yes, quote unquote Mike. Congratulations to you and your family. Best wishes to you going forward here. That's an awesome call. What a Thanksgiving that would be.
Yeah, I know, right? It's just like, hey, let's up the ante a little bit on the feel-good
right?
story. And, oh, hey, I'm going to have a kid. Awesome.
Yeah. And for the first time, calling in, too. Right on. Right on. I'll take that call any day. 803-0551, 888-550-2550. We'll step aside here. We'll take a timeout. When we come back, we'll be joined by Matt Beauvais from WKBW Channel 7 here in Buffalo, or as I believe it was in Miami, it was Adam Matt Beauvais. I think it rolls off the tongue better than just Matt Beauvais, but we'll get his thoughts on that. We'll get his thoughts on both the Bills and the Sabres. We'll get his grades on both teams at this point of their respective seasons, and get his thoughts more on Buffalo sports in general. So we'll talk to Matt coming back out of this timeout. Brayton Wilson here, Derek Kramer producing. Sports Talk Saturday rolling along next on WGR.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
All right, we're back here. Sports Talk Saturday, WGR Sports Radio 550. Matt Beauvais will join me in just a matter of seconds here. Mike Zeisberger from NHL.com will join me at 1:30 coming up. We'll talk some Sabres hockey, some Leafs hockey as well. He was at the game yesterday. I'm sure he'll be at the game this evening in Toronto. We'll also get some thoughts here on the Sabres with Matt Beauvais. Matt kindly joins us here on the West Her Hotline to talk some Buffalo sports. And Matt Beauvais, how you doing this fine afternoon?
I'm pretty good, John Brayton Wilson. How are you today?
I'm doing just fine. I was at the Sabres game yesterday. It was an entertaining game. They finally get a win, especially over a Leafs team that was pretty hot. But, hey, looking at both the Bills and the Sabres, obviously the Sabres season in this kind of second part of their season with the October into November. November's kind of been shaky for them, but man, this Bills team, at least there's a lot to talk about with them, and especially with the game on Thursday with the way they just took care of Dallas. I don't think it was expected by many. I don't know what you were expecting, but certainly a game where maybe you could have seen them keep it close throughout the game, but it seemed like they from the second quarter on absolutely took control and didn't allow Dallas to even breathe all that much.
I was shocked. So I was down at the game for Channel 7, and I knew they had a chance. I did not think they were going to go in there and blow out the Cowboys, and I really think they did. After the first drive of the game, the Bills controlled basically that entire game until garbage time on both sides of the ball. The Bills' offense, they were moving up and down with ease. The Bills' defense shut down one of the most high-powered offenses in the NFL. So it was a huge statement with 33 million people watching. It was the perfect stage for the Bills to have that game, and it's so cool that they pulled it off.
Yeah, right, and it was the third highest Thanksgiving game or something like that, or highest rated Thanksgiving game since 1992 or something like that. 27 years. That was the stat that I saw yesterday, which was just, again, goes to show just how much Bills Mafia kind of cares about this team. And I mean, again, an incredible win for them to be able to pull off that win, get to 9-3 for the first time since 96. Matt, this has kind of been the discussion this morning, and I'll get your thoughts on it. Through 3 months of the year with 1 month left to go, how would you grade the Bills season so far?
A-, and I think the only reason I'm not giving them an A or an A-plus is because of the little hiccup that they had against the Browns. I mean, before the season, and it's funny how it's all relative, but before the season, I think if you asked most Bills fans, what are your expectations this year when, you know, Howard picks the Bills? I think a lot of people would probably say, or would have said, 8-8, maybe they go 9-7 if they win the games that they're supposed to win. If Josh Allen takes enough steps, that'll be a win for us, regardless of if they make the playoffs or not. Now, the worst they can finish is 9-7. Josh Allen has shown that he can take those steps. There is room for him to improve. He's not a finished product just yet, and he had some ugly games to start the season. But I think he has shown why the front office was so excited to draft him, and I think they've played really good football. And, you know, unless they completely collapse, they're going to be in the playoffs this year, and then we get to see whether or not they can win that game. And I really think the team that we watched on Thursday can go into a playoff game and win. I really do. Like, because I'm trying to put into my head, like, where are the most likely spots that they could end up? And once again, it's not a foregone conclusion. They have to probably win at least one more game for you to feel fully confident. But I think they can beat Kansas City, even on the road in Kansas City.
Mm-hmm.
I think they can beat Houston. I think they can give Indianapolis a game. Like, I think those are three teams the Bills could at least compete with. And in the playoffs, who knows what could happen? Who knows what injuries are going to play a factor? What, you know, conditions of the game are going to play a factor? And then, you know, they play in a couple weeks. I think the Bills can go into New England and compete with the Patriots. I'm not saying that I would pick the Bills to beat the Patriots, but I don't think anybody should be shocked if they go in and they give them a great game.
Yeah.
I don't love their chances against Baltimore. It seems like Baltimore is on their own level right now.
Right.
But, you know, I just think back to that first matchup with New England. Like, all those turnovers, a blocked punt, and it was still a one-possession game at the end.
Yeah, and it's interesting, though, because I don't know if you feel the same way, Matt, but even with this Ravens game beforehand, maybe a week or two ago, I would have said, you know, that game, it's probably a wash that the Ravens will win because Lamar Jackson is so good, and both sides of the ball for Baltimore is just playing and firing on all cylinders. However, if the Bills can put up a game like they did this past Thursday, I don't think it's such a guarantee that the Ravens are just going to, you know, blow past the Bills and come away with a win. The Bills might make some noise and actually keep it close. Maybe they still don't win, but they might actually have a chance, a small chance or whatever you want to think, that they can make a game out of this and maybe come out with a win, and especially it being at New Era Field and being a home game for the Bills, that might help them out even more.
Yeah, who knows about the bounces, right? Like, I think if the entire game is played with just standard football, the Ravens offense versus the Bills defense, the Bills offense versus the Ravens defense, I would give the edge, obviously, to the Ravens, as I'm sure most people would after the start of the season they've had. But there are so many factors that can go into a game. If Lamar Jackson, you know, throws an interception, that changes things a lot. Maybe the Bills can return a kick. It looks like Andre Roberts has been pretty close to taking one of those to the house. Like, there are a lot of different things that could happen. So, yeah, I think they can probably at least hang with the Ravens for the majority of the game. I would be really impressed if this was like a one- or two-possession game at the end of the fourth quarter, whether or not the Bills win or not. And if they win, then, like, holy crap.
Yeah.
We're talking about a really, really, really good – we're not talking about – who the Bills could play in the first round. We're talking about whether or not this team can win a Super Bowl.
Right, and especially with the Patriots' end of their schedule, they don't have an easy rest of the schedule. They have the Texans this Sunday, then they have the Chiefs, and then they play the Bills, and I don't remember who they're playing for the final game, but or final two games, however that goes. But it's not a walk in the park for the Patriots either. They could have a tough time with these two teams coming up, especially. And then by the time they face the Bills in Week 16, maybe there's a chance the division's up for grabs.
You know what? Like, root for the Texans this weekend.
Yep.
Just because, obviously, you want to see the Patriots potentially drop another game next weekend to Kansas City. But if the Patriots win, don't consider it a huge blow because the division is such a long shot anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And then that gives Houston another loss, and it gives Houston another conference loss, which makes the Bills playoff, you know, chances even better. They're already really, really good. But I think maybe we're getting a little too greedy with talking about the division.
I know.
I agree with you that if they win, you know, so let's say even if the Patriots lose their next two games, the Bills would have to win their next two games just to basically be able to have that play-in game
right
before the division. And then the Bills would still have to beat the Jets. And the Jets are starting to play some pretty good football too. So, you know,
Watch the Jets, though, this Sunday go out and lose to the Bengals.
Of course, right? So if you're a Bills fan, yeah, it would be amazing if that game on the 21st, which you can watch on 7ABC, by the way, not so subtle plug, but if that game is for the division, that will be the most fun Bills game in a long, long, long time. I just still think, you know, maybe the Patriots drop one of their next two games, but I would be astonished if they dropped both of them and the Bills beat the Ravens. That's a lot of things to happen.
Yeah, absolutely. Matt Beauvais from Channel 7 WKBW in Buffalo joining us here on the West Hur Hotline talking a little football. We'll get to hockey in just a moment here. But what are some of the things that you're looking forward to this upcoming week? And how would you kind of try and game plan this upcoming week, Matt, for the Bills going up against the Ravens? I know Baltimore still has their game tomorrow with San Francisco, but yeah. What are you looking at as like your keys to next week's game in order for Buffalo to manage to pull out a victory against Baltimore?
Well, I think on defense, it's make Lamar Jackson beat you as a passer, and that is not a knock on him because sometimes people say that, and it's like a knock on the quarterback. I don't think that's a knock on the quarterback. I think that's speaking to just how dynamic he is when mm-hmm. he rushes the ball. So if you can keep him in the pocket and you don't let him break away, then he at least is going to have to pick you apart through the air. And if that's going to be the case, I mean, you would like to think that Tre'Davious White can kind of hold down the fort on one side of the field. And then on the other side of the field, Kevin Johnson and Levi Wallace, they've been playing pretty good. I mean, they did a good job containing Michael Gallup against Dallas.
Mm-hmm.
So if you can make them beat you in the air, then I think that's the biggest thing on defense. On offense, it's giving Josh Allen time because the offensive line has kind of had its peaks and valleys this year. When Josh has had the protection, he's made some great plays. When he's had to make those split-second decisions, that's when some of the mistakes have been made. He is starting to get quicker processing everything, but still, if the Bills can give him pressure, that's a good sign for him to be able to at least move them up and down the field.
All right, Matt, let's switch over to hockey. And I do kind of want to point out a tweet, an interesting tweet here. This will pertain to the Sabres, but Pierre LeBrun tweeting out that he's hearing that the Devils have started to take offers and listen to teams on Taylor Hall. And it doesn't mean that they will for sure trade him, but given a place in the standings and the magnitude of a potential deal, Ray Shiro, their GM, is now in listening mode. So I guess I'll present the question to you, and I'll present it to everyone else. With the Sabres needing some help at forward, do you think that that Taylor Hall should be targeted and would be a realistic option for the Sabres, or do you think that maybe Hall would be too much of a get for the Sabres to be able to swing a trade with the Devils?
Well, I think that they definitely need to explore their options.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Taylor Hall is one of the best players and pure goal scorers in the NHL, and I feel like if you could add him into your lineup, you would all of a sudden actually have the potential of two legitimate lines, and that's ultimately what everybody wants. I think it would be, the price would be ridiculously steep. I think it would cost them a ton, and whether or not that's worth it, I guess, depends on what they're giving up.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, if I'm Jason Votrell, I'm calling and I'm saying, hey, are you interested in Casey Mittelstadt, a first-round pick that's lottery-protected, and insert also another pretty good player here and see if that's worth it?
Right.
Because if it is, then, you know, you've got a core four of up front, Eichel, Skinner, Hall, and Reinhart. Like, pretty good stuff.
Yeah.
You take that, right?
Yeah, I would definitely take it. I mean, and even then, I would see if you could try and swing a deal as soon as you can, just given the fact that this team, it's still late November, early December, and they're not, I mean, they have played better as of late. And if you could swing this trade now, maybe you're going to be able to swing the season in your favor a little bit more and put yourself in an even better position to swing things around and actually make the playoffs for the first time in forever.
Well, now's the time. And I understand that Jason Votrell needs to look at this for the long term, and he needs to try and figure out, how can I put together the best team that's going to have longevity? But you know what? They've been trying that for a long time, and it hasn't worked. You are on the fringe of having a fan base that has completely lost interest, which
mm-hmm.
is the worst thing that can happen to a team. At least when a team is really, really bad, people are really, really passionate about how bad they are. But for the Sabres, that has been something that's been going on for so long that people are now just, they're becoming an afterthought. And that's
mm-hmm.
scary. Like, even at yesterday's game, I know there are always tons and tons and tons of Leafs fans at Sabres and Leafs games, and I get why. That's a conversation for a different day. It seems like yesterday, that was taken to a whole new level. And, like, it's just, it's embarrassing. You go to these games, they play on a Tuesday night, and there's not barely anybody in any of the corners in the 300.
Right.
And then all of the middle is completely, basically, like, bare. It's
yeah.
just kind of hit or miss on stuff. You know how you get people back in the seats? You make a big deal with a player that people have heard of and can be excited about, and then maybe the team starts to perform. But at least show people that you're trying to make the team better.
Right.
Because right now you're playing defenseman at forward.
Yeah.
Like, stop. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, good teams don't have 11 forwards and 7 defensemen playing every other night, and that's what the Sabres are doing. So I guess now that'll transition into this question, Matt. How would you grade the first 2 months of the season? Obviously, the first month they went 9-2-2 and looked pretty unstoppable, but we all kind of expected, okay, they're starting to have that trend of going downward, and things might, you know, get a little discouraging, or, you know, it might be disappointing for a little bit. But I mean, for a little bit there, it seemed like, oh boy, here we go again. But over the past, like, 4 or 5 games, they've actually played well, but the final results have not been good for them. But how would you grade out the Sabres' season through the first 2 months?
I'm going to give them a C-. And you get me to be – I'm optimistic about the Bills, and I'm pessimistic about the Sabres just because I've seen them do this so many times before. I still think that there are so many flaws in that roster. I think that there's potential there, but they have no secondary scoring, like, at all. And it's funny because they still – if they're not going to have any secondary scoring, I think they need to put together a line that can go out and control play. And it's something that Jeremy talks about a lot on the show with you guys. Like, why isn't Skinner with Eichel again? And I know Olofsson has been playing better of late, so this maybe loses a little bit of steam now. So maybe right now is not the best time to have the conversation, but you're getting no production from any of the other lines, and nobody can carry those lines. So it's just like, come on. You need to be able to score goals in this league. And yeah, yesterday they scored 6, but it was Hutchinson in that. Like,
right.
I think if Anderson is playing yesterday, the Sabres probably don't win that game. And now you get him tonight in Toronto, Sheldon Keefe's first game there. They're probably going to be losing their mind. So I'd give him a C- just because even though the start was good, I still think they're trending really to a bad place, and I'm not confident that they can turn things around unless they start to make some moves.
So,
but I'm sick of watching Colin Miller and Brandon Montour play forward.
Yeah, I know. So that means that Adam Mapove is more the pessimistic one, and just regular Mapove is the more optimistic one.
Yeah, it depends on what sports they're talking about, but yeah, Adam tends to be a little bit more pessimistic.
Well, Adam, I appreciate you taking some time off on your Saturday to join us here, and obviously we'll talk plenty more about both of these teams moving forward, but hope you enjoy the rest of your weekend, and we'll talk soon.
Thanks, guys. Have a great weekend.
You too. Matt Bovey joining us here on the West Hur Hotline, talking some good Bills and Sabres stuff with us here on WGR. We'll step aside. We'll take a break. And when we come back, we'll take a phone call here about the Bills coming up. And in hour three of the show, I really want to get into this Taylor Hall discussion. Pierre LeBrun, again, tweeting out that the Devils have started to listen to from teams on Taylor Hall. Some offensive help that the Sabres might be able to acquire that could really help them turn the season around. We'll give you details on like his contract and his situation right now, and we'll go from there. Brayton Wilson here for this week's edition of Sports Talk Saturday here on WGR.
Just being from Houston, I had to throw it up, and I kept throwing up every sack I got. I'm going to throw up Houston, Texas, because Houston and Dallas, we really don't like each other, so I'm going to throw up Houston and Dallas every time I get a chance.
That is Ed Oliver, Bills rookie defensive tackle. Big game for him on Thursday. Two sacks, a strip sack included, in the 26-15 win for the Bills over the Dallas Cowboys on Thanksgiving in Dallas. Brayton Wilson here with you. A little bit more time left in this second hour of Sports Talk Saturday here on WGR. In that time, we're going to take a phone call. We're going to go to John in Rochester. John, good afternoon. You're on Sports Talk Saturday.
Hey, Brayton. Hey, Derek. Yeah. I just wanted to say I give the Bills an A. You know what goes behind that? It's Sean McDermott. McDermott's got this team playing like a fine-tuned clock right now. I mean, all aspects. These players have bought into it. It was obvious to me in that Dallas game. And I'll tell you, I think this could propel them to running the table. After that win in Dallas, the confidence that they have, and what are your thoughts on running the table?
I don't think it's likely. I don't think that they anything is possible, but, I mean, still, the Patriots, the Ravens, they're both two really good top teams still in the NFL. The Patriots, you gave a run for your money in New Era Field earlier in the season. I think that's possible, but you're going to Foxborough. That's a totally different animal trying to play there. And Baltimore, I mean, again, you got to stop Lamar Jackson. You have to try and beat them with their defense playing as well as they have. Running the table and going 13-3 isn't out of the picture, but if I put it at a percentage, I'd probably say only maybe like 2% that happens. I just don't see it. Maybe they go 12-4. Maybe they beat Baltimore and then lose to New England or vice versa, but I still think 11-5 or 10-6 is more likely than anything else.
This reminds me a lot of the 99 Bills when we had Flutie and Johnson, and we lost it. We got screwed in Tennessee. Tennessee ended up going to the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
And that would have been us. We had a better team, better defense, a good offense. This reminds me a lot of that team. I think we're going.
All right, John. Well, I know you're always one for the optimistic viewpoint of everything. I mean,
you know, I know it would stink.
Sure,
by the way,
anything is possible, but I'm not ready to fully say, yeah, this team's going to the Super Bowl. I'm just not there.
You know,
I'm not
stinks?
Anywhere near there yet.
Think about this. Even in the most rosy-colored sunglasses, there's still a scenario where the Bills, if they run the table at 13-3, are the 5 seed.
And again, if the Bills do it, I'll be more than happy to willingly happy to admit that I'm wrong, similar to how I was with Josh Allen. I remember we were doing the 4 o'clock in the morning show on that day of Sports Thunder that we did.
Sports Thunder. Whew.
And I was sitting there, and I was just like, all right, old takes expose me if I'm wrong here, but I'm not sure if I'm really ready to say that Josh Allen is the answer.
And I was the same way
on
Sports Thunder.
And now I think I'm ready to say, okay, I think Josh Allen might be the answer here, and I'm totally willing for sports, you know, for Old Takes Exposed to call me out on it. But I'm sure they don't.
You know what would happen, by the way, if the Bills do go on a 4-game win streak
That'd be seven.
There'd be 7 wins straight to close the season. I think we'd all be too excited to call anyone out for saying, yeah, that wouldn't happen.
I know. And yeah, like you said, the Bills still might even be a 5 seed at that point, which would be astronomically stupid. They should get a bye week at that point to start the year. But, you know,
but I mean, New England.
Hey, it's possible. Is it likely? No. Again, 2%, if that, I would put it at. It's more likely that they go 10-5, 11-6. Or 10-6, 11-5, then 12-4, 13-3. But if they get to the playoffs, anything can happen in the playoffs. I mean, a 6-seed Green Bay Packers led by Aaron Rodgers ended up going to the Super Bowl and winning. I think that's right. I want to double check to make sure, but I think the Packers that year that Aaron Rodgers won his first and only Super Bowl, they were a wild card team, the 6th seed, and I think they won the Super Bowl, the whole thing. So anything can happen once you get to the big dance. But, I mean, again, the best way to look at this is just one game at a time. As cliche and stupid as that sounds, we can only look ahead to the Baltimore Ravens. Thanks for the call, though, John. 803-0551, 888-552-550. 1 hour left to go here in Sports Talk Saturday. Let's get into some hockey talk. Got some thoughts on yesterday's game. Got some thoughts on the Sabres overall. I'll take your grades on the Sabres as well, take your phone calls on the Sabres. But here is the most interesting idea that has come up literally within the last 24 minutes, possibly. Taylor Hall, the Devils are listening to teams on offers for Taylor Hall. Should the Sabres go now, react now? I mean, they're a team that has been looking to make a trade for a while. Jason Botterill has been actively looking to make a trade. Is now the time to go get Taylor Hall? You don't wait any longer. You go out there, you make your best offer, you make any offer to try and get him no matter what. Are you all in on Taylor Hall? Or are you just another person that's just, are you just not in on Hall? We'll talk a little bit more about that when we get into the next hour. Brayton Wilson here for this week's edition of Sports Talk Saturday. Derek Kramer behind the board as always, and you're listening to WGR. Oh, oh,
oh, O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.